Warriors sound coverage of the Western Conference semifinals picking back up here in Houston as the Warriors prepare for Game 4 on Monday night against the Rockets. I'm Lawrence Scott, and Sunday, an opportunity to review Game 3 at a team film session as the Warriors lead this series 2-1. And Coach Kerr addressing the media on Sunday morning. We'll also hear analysis from Jim Barnett and Tim Roy, plus an interview with Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group as we start with a listen in to Coach Kerr.
Well, we're always confident. I think the biggest thing is to learn the lessons of what we have to do better. I thought we fought and stayed in the game with some big plays, some big stops. But over the course of the game, I thought they outplayed us. They got to more rebounds. We made some mistakes defensively. I just thought they showed the desperation that was necessary to win that game. And this is the playoffs against a great team. So, this is exactly what you expect.
And your second unit got hit pretty good to start the second quarter and didn't really go back to them in the fourth. Are you going to have to maybe move away from that group into the future here?
Not necessarily. We had KD and Clay on the floor at the start of the second quarter. We could mix the mix up the pieces a little bit around them, but I think it's just a tough stretch for us. But we'll bounce back next game.
Steve, what do you guys think it takes to win the rebounding battle?
Boxing out and trying hard. You got to box these guys out, and you got to be aware on the weak side, especially shot goes up, guys are coming.
Steve, in your experience, if Steph has a bad game, what is his response usually?
He usually has a good game.
Does he do anything that you notice?
He's just really, really competitive, and he gets locked in, and he gets a little bit angry, and he comes out with a lot of focus and a lot of fight. So that's what we're expecting tomorrow.
Steve, you guys have done a pretty good job at limiting Chris Paul's looks. Shot attempts are pretty far down this series. Has it been anything in particular? Has it just been Clay or –
Well, Clay's doing a good job. I mean, we're trying hard to keep Chris from getting his spots. But we're trying. That's of course what we're trying to do. Same with James and Eric Gordon. And it's impossible to stop these guys. But if we can slow them down a little bit, it gives us a better chance to win.
Steve, you mentioned Houston's desperation a minute or so ago. I know you guys are 2-1 up, but is that kind of the mentality you want to see from your guys now?
That's like I said, it's the playoffs. So you're on the road against a great team. You can't expect to win with the level of focus, the lack of focus that we had last night. Too many mindless plays defensively. When I watched the game, the last 4 points of regulation were the key to the game. We give up 4 free throws on one foul 85 feet from the hoop, and the other one just a reach. We were stopping them. We were doing a good job getting stops down the stretch, but you hand them 4 free throws, it's tough to win. So that's the kind of stuff we got to clean up.
James and KD have obviously known each other a long time. Do you think there's an element of wanting to one-up someone that you're close to and have known?
I have no idea.
But when you look at the stretch that Kevin is on right now, it's just been incredible. And when he came out in that third quarter, you could see just the benefit for the rest of the Warriors' offense. What was that transition that you saw at halftime, or what do you have to do to maybe get that KD earlier in the game?
If you had that KD for 48 minutes, you'd have the greatest player in the history of the planet, and you'd win every single game. I don't know. I don't know how you could expect anybody to play at that level that he did in the fourth quarter for a whole game. The game is what it is. I mean, there's going to be ups and downs for everybody, including and maybe especially the great players, because there so much is required of them. So I thought he was brilliant, and we couldn't ask for anything more.
Steve, as the game evolves, we see more and more very deep three-pointers. You guys have a number of players who can do it. We saw Lillard win a series with it the other day. Do you expect that to become more and more of a weapon as things move forward?
Well, it's certainly trending that way. Not only the volume of threes, but the distance of the threes, which spaces the floor even more, which makes your help defense that much more difficult.
Steve, how much of a concern is fatigue becoming?
Is fatigue becoming a concern with the amount of minutes you're having to play?
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's, you know, you have to play. You got to do what you have to do to win the game. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. But our guys are in great shape, and we got a day's rest today, and they'll be ready to go. I mean, we didn't play 65 minutes like Jokic did, so we should be fine.
Yeah, 0-6 in overtime this year. You guys are 0-6 in overtime games. Is that just a random stat?
I think so. I think it's a pretty random stat.
In the past, you've said you don't usually make adjustments until you're challenged, you lose a game. Now, you made some adjustments before the series, but is this a game that leads you to think, okay, maybe we might need to make some adjustments?
I think the biggest adjustment is always the emotional one, the fight, the competitive spirit. That's the first adjustment that we have to make. That's the adjustment they made last night. You know, they fought harder, and, you know, the rebounding battle completely flipped from games 2 to 3. And so what's the adjustment? Well, we got to box out. We got to rotate. We got to be in the right place at the right time. We got to anticipate what's happening. And we got to fight for every possession. And I thought they did a better job of us than we did last night. It's not that we didn't play hard. We played hard for good stretches of that game. But they outplayed us for 53. And that's why they won. So that's the first adjustment. And then you tweak some things from there. Any little thing that you see, you figure out and you decide whether to do it or not.
And in the postgame after Game 3, this the talk on the Warriors Radio Network at the Toyota Center with Warriors broadcasters Tim Roy and Jim Barnett.
JB, a lot of good things to talk about. The Splash Brothers did not have a great night. They were 13 of 39 from the field, but you know, you just don't want to let opportunities like this slip away in a 7-game series.
No, it's really tough, but you know, Houston was playing with desperation mode, and they played hard throughout the entire game. The Warriors made a valiant comeback, carried by Durant, particularly in the third and fourth quarter, and on into the overtime period as well. They just did not get enough from the Splash Brothers. They've got to perform better. And I'll bet you that Stephen Curry missed at least 4 driving layups in the second half and in the overtime period as well. But you've got to give kudos to the Houston Rockets. And James Harden, this is about as good as I've seen him play. I mean, he wasn't sparkling from three-point range, but it was enough. And then Gordon kicked in with another 30.
His decision-making is what the difference tonight. I thought Harden, he took what the defense gave him. And when he was doubled, he moved the ball. When not, he would try to make something off of drives. And he hit about 5 or 6 runners in the lane tonight, Jim, because the Warrior help was getting there late to the rim. And so he took basically what the Warriors were letting him offer with, which is a runner in the paint, and he made it work.
Yes, and most of his missed shots were early in the game. I mean, at halftime, he was 4 of 11, 1 of 5. He hit a lot of clutch shots coming down the stretch. Couple of threes, one in front of the Warriors bench, one at the top we saw, and those little runners. He was hitting baskets when they really needed to score, otherwise they lose the game.
You know, Jim, I thought at times tonight, Houston's defense, I think, has been, you know, underrated, I think, nationally and across the board all year long.
It was better since the All-Star game.
Much better since the All-Star break. Jeff Bezdelic got back around Thanksgiving. I think it took a while for them to really get back into rhythm with him. And I think the Warriors, though, at times found ways to beat that defense, but they just couldn't finish.
Well, the thing is, you brought up the fast break points. The Warriors had no fast break points at halftime. They had 7 fast break points the third quarter, another 5 in the fourth quarter. When they pushed the ball up, that's when they are at their best, and then you catch the defense scattered. They're not ready to play, and they're off balance. And that you have to play that way, because when you play the half court, they were on you. I mean, they were tight on everybody, made it difficult.
And, you know, Jim, I think that's a point maybe for Game 4, because what happened in one of the few times the Warriors pushed the ball in the fourth quarter, it gave Klay Thompson an open, unobstructed look at the basket on the right wing, and he nailed a 3.
Yes.
And if you could do that early, then you have Curry and Thompson in rhythm, and they start thinking those shots are going to fall.
Yeah, and I think maybe they got lured into and kind of teased into a wrong way to play early in the game, because they came out really, really hot in the first quarter. You know, all of a sudden they doubled the lead there, and they were hitting shots, hit two of their first threes, and then they went very, very cold. And so they kind of played that game, and then it played right into the trap of the defense of Houston. And I'll tell you what, when Durant is going well, and he was marvelous
My
tonight.
My goodness, that 1 minute 59 stretch of the start of the fourth quarter, some of the best offensive basketball I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's he carried him there. He brought him back to within a situation where they could win. And the way they attack him, Gordon plays him this way, so does P.J. Tucker. They don't try to play up high as Austin Rivers did when he fouled him on the three-point shot. He made three free throws to put the Warriors within reach there late in this overtime period. They play him down low. They know they're not going to reach his shot. So when they try to get his last dribble, or sometimes his first dribble even, they try to attack the ball as he's dribbling it. They go right towards his knees, and it's a pretty good way to play him, about the only way you can play him.
Now, watching Kevin Durant this postseason, now you played against Wilt and Elgin Baylor and Jerry West. You played with and against Bill Russell. You saw Michael Jordan. You've watched LeBron James. But this postseason, where do you put Kevin Durant?
I just think Kevin Durant, he's got to be one of the five best scorers of all time. That's where I put him. I just think that his skill and his untouchable and unreachable shot from three-point range, and he's a good three-point shooter, but he can handle the ball and his length. Tim, I put him right at the top of with Michael Jordan. I put him right at the top, obviously, with LeBron James. I think he's actually a smoother scorer than LeBron. He has more of a gift for the game and scoring. Jerry West was a tremendous scorer, but Kevin Durant is right there. I think he's one of the top five scorers of all time.
There's no doubt that I think when his career is done, that he's going to be right there with the top players ever to play. I mean, he's a rim protector. He can pass when he wants to pass. He can score when he wants to score. He can do whatever he wants on the floor whenever he wants. So, let's look ahead to Game 4. What would you like to see the Warriors do better in Game 4, other than, say, push the ball, which we just
I think they need
about.
To play hard and better. He got around them too easily tonight, and they weren't even shading him. They weren't shading him, Tim, left or right and what have you, especially Iguodala. He was playing him straight up. But you just simply cannot reach. You cannot reach on the perimeter on Harden because that's when he'll go around you. And when you reach, you're not moving your feet and you get off balance. So they need to play Harden a little better and keep him away from the basket. I thought he had too many penetrations tonight. I think they've got to do a better job. And you can't look to get help. You've got to take him mano-mano and make it very difficult for him to get around you. He does it too easily. And I would definitely give him an outside shot more than the penetration because points in the paint really hurt them tonight.
And somebody, I think, has to give Warriors something more than a 10-minute stretch off the bench.
Yes.
They've got to get somebody going off the bench.
No question about that. That really hurts them. And now they've got a couple days rest here. But, yeah, they need to get something off the bench, and you just can't keep going that way. Looney's been really, really good tonight. He just didn't seem to be in the flow of everything. So, you know, they're getting short leashes out there. McKinney comes in, he goes out, comes in, goes out. It makes it tough for him. But how about this? How about just having the Splash Brothers finally having a game? Right now, Curry with his 2-for-9, that means he is 8-for-32. He's shooting 25%.
From the three-point line.
From the three-point line.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
He's in the series. He was 6 of 23. Well, he's 8 of 32.
Law of averages says that's going to change at some point. So hopefully that'll happen on Monday night.
And in between the games during the series, we're seeing all kinds of feature coverage here during the playoffs. Some of the biggest names in the history of the game weighing in on the Warriors, and the Bay Area News Group's Mark Medina in a recent feature talking with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar about the current Warrior that Kareem thinks could eventually surpass him atop the NBA's all-time scoring list. That player, Kevin Durant, making a true impression, as Mark Medina explains in an interview with R.C. Davis taped on Saturday before Game 3.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has had the record for, you know, points of all time. He's number one on the all-time scoring list since 1984, and no one's come close to breaking that record. But because of how Kevin is, where he's in his 12th season, he's 30, he's pretty healthy, and he's just been so efficient with his game, Kareem thinks that he can break the record, assuming that there's no catastrophic injuries moving forward. But I think that's not only just a testament to how Kevin is as a scorer, but it's also a testament of the optimism that people around the NBA have on how his game will age. Because he's so fundamentally sound with his mid-range shot, he's developed a three, he can attack the basket. There's so many different tools in his toolbox that he can use to score, that even if he loses a step or two with his athleticism, he'll still be able to get him up pretty well.
Well, that's what I liked about the piece. You didn't just come up with a number, look at his age, and say, and do the mathematics. You got Dirk Nowitzki, Kobe, Steve Kerr, we mentioned Kareem earlier, all talking about the fact that he's healthy, his all-around game is better than Jordan's, Coach Kerr said. Dirk talking about the step back. Kevin Durant also, which I liked about your article, gives credit to those before him and knows who's ahead of him. He knows the history. Credits Dirk for his one-legged step back and things like that. So that's what I liked about your piece. You just didn't throw this off the wall.
Well, I appreciate that. The thing that really caught my attention is what Steve Kerr was saying, that, you know, Steve is a history of the game. He's played in the NBA. He played with Michael Jordan. And he was saying it in a really weird way. He has more things to offer than Michael Jordan did. Now, he made it clear, just so this isn't taken out of context, he considers Michael Jordan the greatest player ever. But as far as all the things that make him a great scorer, Kevin Durant has all those boxes. Like, both of them had the post-up game and the mid-range game. But Kevin's also more of a little bit of a playmaker, therefore a better ball handler. He can shoot the three a lot more because in today's NBA, that's what calls for. So even if Steve says MJ greatest of all time, he has a different scoring mentality of always wanting to rip your heart out, he thinks that it's in Kevin's credit that he's not someone that forces the issue. He allows himself to play a team game, and then when it's time for him to get it up, he knows how to get it up because he has so many different skills he can rely on.
And he scores with such ease, too. That's the thing about it. It's not like Kareem has to get to his spot, back his guy down, get it in a sweet spot. Durant will just pull up from anywhere or get to his zones and his own sweet spots with ease.
Right, and there's two things that go into play with this. Like, one, he's very blessed with some good genes. He's listed as 6'9", but when you talk to people around the NBA, when I talk to people around, you know, for this piece, they're like, he's a 7-footer, let's just be real. So he has that height advantage that no one can really block his shot. In a way, it's kind of like Kareem. Kevin Durant's not shooting the sky hook, but because of Kareem's height and how hard it is to deflect the arc with that, no one really had an answer for stopping that shot, no matter how many double teams you had, no matter how much you anticipated you had. This kind of applies to Kevin Durant with the mid-range because he has that long wingspan, that height. He can just get over people. But then the second thing is his fundamentals. When I was talking to Mike Brown and Ron Adams, the Warriors' assistant coaches here, they called him like the ultimate practice player because he has a very specific regimen of what he wants to get in his shooting workouts, and he's going at it at game speed. There's no fake hustle that he has. There's no things that he's doing where he's skipping steps. There is a method to the madness, and he's very consistent with sticking to that day in and day out. And Kevin will be the first to tell you that's one of the biggest reasons why he feels like he's been able to have such a good career through 12 seasons.
Finally, he's in the mid-30s now on the scoring list. All things, you know, knock on wood, he stays healthy, and the nutrition that the guys have now. And, yeah, Kareem played 20 years, and Vince Carter's about to play his 22nd. But I think KD's makeup and his body type would say that he's got a legitimate shot at this record.
Yeah, and the thing that benefits Kevin, unlike Kareem, is he was able to go to the NBA a lot earlier. I mean, Kareem went through UCLA for 4 years. That's what the traditional route was at the time. Kevin was so talented that he only needed one season at University of Texas. So he has an advantage of being able to get some extra NBA seasons. But I think the question really has to do with, obviously, can he stay healthy? But how much longer does Kevin actually want to play? He's been on record. I believe he told ESPN last year that he could see himself retiring at 35. He quickly changed his mind once that came out and says, hey, he's not quite sure. But if he stays true to that, that gives him 5 seasons. I think that would make it a stretch to think, okay, he could get in that time, because that's just a lot of points. And he's also a very efficient shooter. If he wanted to average 30, he could, but it's just not in the nature for him to do that. So I think by the math that I outlined in the article, he would have to play 8 seasons, because the average is there, assuming that he's mostly healthy, the rest of his career, he'd be somewhere in like the 24-25 points per game range, and that's in line with what he's usually been averaging. But I think what's very fascinating is, regardless of which team he's ultimately going to be with the rest of his career and what his role is going to be, everyone around the NBA thinks that Kevin's role is still going to be that predominant scorer. So all those unknowns in the future don't really apply to how many points he could ultimately score. It's really just health and how long he wants to play the rest of his career.
All right, Monday night, Warriors versus Rockets in Game 4. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.